Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up tomorrow, longtime talk show host and author Tavis Smiley will be in Chicago with a new project, the Town Forum. It's called The Conversation, Women, Men, and the Workplace. It'll take place at the Faith Community at St. Sabina Church on 78th Street. This is a new project for Smiley's production company, which will also be aired on Facebook Live. Tavis Smiley's name has been in the news lately as he was suspended from his PBS talk show for allegations of workplace misconduct. Smiley pushed back on those allegations, which PBS did call multiple and credible. We'll see where he's at with this. He's a broadcaster, an author, an advocate, and he joins me tonight on the Download. Tavis Smiley, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Justin, thanks for the invite. Good to be on.
So let's talk about this. Why are you producing this conversation?
It's a conversation that I'm convening because I think it's a conversation that matters. And I said weeks ago when this PBS drama unfolded that this is a conversation that the nation needs to engage in. The polling is all over the place about what women think and what men think. There's a generational divide on this. There are people who are afraid of each other in the workplace. I just saw a piece in the Washington Post this week, a front page story, about how these lines are ultimately going to be redrawn in the workplace as a result of this conversation. So there's a lot of questions, not a lot of answers, and I'm doing what I've always done, which is to convene conversations about issues that matter.
For you and your situation to have been involved in this, do you feel like you're the right person to lead a conversation like this?
Well, I'm not leading anything. I'm convening a conversation, again, which is consistent with what I've always done. There'll be experts on the stage in every city. This is a five-city tour, as you mentioned, all week long. And every night on stage, there's a panel of experts, and I'm engaging in a conversation with them for about 60 minutes, and then 30 minutes Q&A with the audience. So everybody gets a chance to be involved in this, so it's not so much leading it as it is convening it. I'm listening and I'm learning. One thing is for certain, nobody in the country has more questions about this than I have. I don't have very many answers, but I got tons of questions. Here we are, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks after PBS made its public statement. I have no idea, no idea to this very day what these accusations were. I have no idea who these accusers were. I have no idea. I know no more now than I knew on December the 8th.
To be a longtime broadcaster and to be a person who has had fame and been in the spotlight, for this to happen to you, how much of it, as you convene this forum, is about learning new experiences or learning where people are coming from in the workplace? And how much of it is, you know, hey, this is my voice to push back, my voice to fight back, to use that fame to essentially present my side of the argument?
To answer your question, it's absolutely none of the latter, absolutely zero. These conversations are not about me, they are about us. Again, we're convening these conversations. I've done so many town halls over the years that I've lost count on so many different subject matter, political, social, economic, cultural issues. My audience knows that I've done this over 30 years, so this is not about me. There's no talk about Tavis in these conversations. Obviously, my experience informs what I do. My experience informs some of the directions I think the conversation might take, but it's not about me. I don't need to push back in that sense. I've done 6 or 7 national interviews. I'm now talking to you. I haven't run from anybody. There are no questions I'm afraid to answer. And I've done that. I've had my say, and perhaps in the coming weeks I'll have more to say. We'll see what my attorneys have to say in the coming days. Now that I've made my statement and now that we've announced we have a new TV show, starting in April, so we've bounced back, so to speak, and we're hard at work getting ready for the next phase of my broadcast career. But these town halls are not about me; it's about us, about the country. Again, having a conversation, because again, the polling is everywhere, and we haven't seen yet a democratic space created, Justin, for these conversations to happen. What we have seen is the heavy hand of the national media. What we have seen is Hollywood sort of preempt this conversation about celebrities and media personalities, but we haven't seen spaces created where everyday people can have these conversations, and that's what this tour is all about.
What do you hope to learn? As being there and convening in the room as experts talk and the audience interacts, what do you look to learn about the relationship between women and men in the workplace?
Everything. In every city, we essentially have a psychologist on the stage to talk to us about how men and women communicate, or how we can better communicate. It's that whole Mars-Venus thing. If you think about it, if men and women speak different languages, then how do we communicate in the workplace or beyond? So there are lessons to take away from psychologists. There are lessons to take away from HR professionals. Every company in this country has a different policy. There is no uniform policy on dating in the workplace, consensual relationships, what one guy says, a guy makes a comment that he means or intends as a compliment, it gets taken as an insult. And so there are so many lessons to learn from, again, about human interaction, from HR professionals. And we certainly in every city have women's voices on the stage. Women have a right to be heard. They have a right to be believed, for that matter. So we've created spaces for women's voices to be heard. And, of course, these town halls are free and open to the public, so there'll be a lot of men who turn out for these conversations. But I hope to listen and to learn from this conversation, as I do from all the conversations that I'm involved in.
You know, one of the things that gets brought up in your story, you know, because there's a lot of, and you've pushed back on a lot of the allegations, but a lot has to do with the power dynamic. In your mm-hmm. case, we're not talking about sexual assault. We're not even really talking about sexual harassment. We're talking about workplace conduct and consensual relationships with subordinates.
Right.
We're a lot of what the workplace is about power dynamics, about men being in power and women feeling like they cannot break off a relationship or speak mm-hmm. how they want to because they're of fear of their jobs.
Yeah.
How do you, as someone who is convening this workplace, how does that topic come up? How do you address that issue, which seems to be at the core of what you're going through?
You raise it as a central question. Is there such a thing, very simple question, which I will ask, is there such a thing as a consensual relationship in the workplace, period, number one? And moreover, is there such a thing as a consensual relationship between a boss and an employee? And the answers to those questions, again, are all over the map. There are companies that have policies against fraternization, period. There are other companies that have policies that don't encourage dating, but they don't discourage dating. And at the end of the day, what you and I both know, because we have eyes that are open, we can see every day, is that there are all kinds of relationships that start in the workplace. And many of these relationships, people go on to get married and to raise families. We know that Bill and Melinda Gates met at Microsoft. We know that Henry Kissinger met his wife at work. We know that Barack and Michelle met at a law firm in Chicago. We know that Mika and Joe met at NBC. We watched them every morning. We saw them. We know where they met. We saw them on TV every day. My point is that you can make Tavis Smiley the poster child for this, but this is our reality. This is an American reality, and hence the need for conversations about whether we're going to do this or not do it, how we're going to do it, how we're not going to do it, because, again, people are afraid of being treated punitively or pejoratively, particularly when they don't know where the lines are and what the rules are.
It's interesting because we've seen such high-profile people, and even in the press of Googling your name, a lot of the articles are, here's a definitive list of celebrities who have been accused of misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
And your name shows up, and it shows up next to Harvey Weinstein, and it shows up against, you know, or next to Louis C.K. and others who have done things that are borderline, if not over the line, criminal. How
sure.
does that make you feel, that your situation, which to this point PBS has not said that you coerced or groped or did anything that would fall along the more classic lines of harassment, but that your consensual relationship with subordinates is being held in the same standard as the other people I just mentioned?
Well, it makes you uncomfortable. It makes you want to respond, which is what we did with those six or seven national interviews. It makes it clear to me that you have to say to people that we cannot conflate. We absolutely cannot conflate consensual relationships between adults with sexual assault, harassment, misconduct, or rape. We can't conflate those things. And so when on some of these lists, as you mentioned, not all, but on some of these lists, when you see me next to Harvey Weinstein, that's an insult. I don't know the particulars of Harvey Weinstein's case. I've interviewed him a number of times over the years on my show before any of us knew about this. But at the end of the day, I know me, and I know the life that I've lived, and I know the kinds of relationships that I've had. And I know that I have never done anything, as you mentioned a moment ago, that comes anywhere near what many of these other persons are accused to have done. So, again, we can't conflate consenting relationships between adults with sexual harassment, sexual assault, rape, or sexual misconduct. And that's what my issue is. I don't like being, you know, on those lists, but this is the problem when you have a company that reaches out to a law firm that engages a sloppy investigation that leads to a rush to judgment. And so you can make Tavis Smiley the poster boy. I'm a big boy. I take a big boy pill every morning. I wake up. I can handle it. As Kendrick Lamar said, you know, we're going to be all right. I'll make it through this in time. But the reality is that today it's me, but tomorrow what happens when it's your husband or your brother or your son and something from their past years ago, a woman they dated years ago in the workplace, that comes back to haunt them, and then they end up losing their job and being publicly shamed for something they did years ago that nobody told them was wrong, It certainly wasn't wrong in my employee handbook. And furthermore, over 14 years on PBS, PBS never told me that that was a PBS rule. I don't work for PBS. I didn't work for PBS. I own my own company. PBS distributed my show. I was never, ever given a list of rules by PBS because I own my own company. And so here, out of nowhere, you get sort of slapped with your past. And again, I don't live in the past. I can't be concerned about the future. I can only live in the present. And in the present, I'm convening these town hall conversations to, again, talk about some of these issues. And again, my grandmother, Big Mama Justin, always said to me, Tavis, when you know better, you ought to do better. When you know better, you ought to do better. These conversations, perhaps to help us all to know better, and then we can do better.
PBS, you and Charlie Rose both suspended, Garrison Keillor and NPR. And there's been some pushback in the public radio community to say that that issue may be because you do own your own show. Because
right.
You are the boss. You know, there is
right.
No HR that's above you or a manager that's looking over you. So subordinates may feel if they're in a consensual relationship, but they don't want to be in it anymore, that they may have job security issues because you're the boss. How do you look at that? I mean, because there's a real conversation happening in public media circles about that dynamic, that business model, the idea of you being your own company and selling a show to a network.
Well, first of all, your question, respectfully, is one-sided, and I take your point. But the other side of that is, what about women who are in relationships that they didn't mind being in, that they wanted to be in? So it's not just the side you present, and those are not the relationships that I had. I can tell you, and I said this from the very beginning, that if you're in a consensual relationship, it's very easy to prove that. You prove it with letters, with cards, with gifts, with text, with emails, with photographs. If you're ever in a consensual relationship, that is the easiest thing in the world to prove. And if people are interested about whether or not it was consensual, all they need do is to ask for that information. I offered it. It was never asked for. It was never looked at. So that's another conversation for another time. But that information is easy to provide, number one. So there is a flip side, respectfully, to your question. But the second part of your question is about this conversation in public radio and public television. This model has existed for a long time, number one. Number two, when Paula Kerger, the president of PBS, spoke recently at the Television Critics Association here in Los Angeles, she made it clear, these are her words, that Charlie's case and my case were very different. So I have great respect for my friend Charlie Rose as a colleague, as a broadcaster, but Paula made it clear, Ms. Kerger made it clear, that Charlie and I are in very two different scenarios, two different cases. Those are her words. But she also said something very interesting in that TCA speech, the Television Critics Association again. She made it clear, Justin, that PBS didn't have rules sufficiently in place to govern activity, if you will, with outside producers. So as I said a moment ago, at no point was I ever in 14 seasons told that PBS would frown on me or would pull the plug on my show if over the course of my 30-year career, and by the way, we're talking 30 years here, I've been at this. They dug way back into my past. If somebody had ever said to me over the course of my 30-year career, you cannot do X, Y, or Z, then I live by contracts every day, as do you. We don't get on the air without contracts.
Right.
I've not violated any other part of my contract.
But Tavis,
if I were aware of that, then I would have behaved accordingly. You can only do what you know.
Yeah, and when you see it from, you talked about two sides, but I just think seeing from someone who might be a subordinate, I'm not saying specifically in your case, but just hypothetically,
sure.
If somebody is dating their boss and is in a situation where that power dynamic plays out, and whether or not they feel like if they want to be out of the relationship or they want to push back on whatever they
exactly
want to do, they can't because you're the boss. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize there is a power dynamic in that?
Yeah, maybe you haven't seen my comments. The very first interview that I gave, maybe you didn't do the research on this, but the very first interview that I gave was to Good Morning America. I was asked this very question on Good Morning America. I said in the very first conversation I had, and everyone since, that I respect the fact that there are folk who believe that there is no such thing as a consensual relationship between those two levels of people. I respect that. I hear that point of view. But for the third time, one size does not fit all. Every company doesn't have the same rule, number one. And number two, PBS never apprised me of that. And number three, you're asking questions not really knowing what you're talking about, in the sense that we're talking about a 30-year career. And you don't know, nor do I know, because I was never privileged to this, to know what part of my 30-year career they're talking about.
Okay.
I haven't always been the boss. So let me take your question a step forward. I haven't always been the boss. I've owned my company for a number of years, but I haven't always been the boss. So I haven't always been in a power relationship relative to other employees for most of my career, quite frankly. For most of my career, I've been a colleague, I've been the host, but I've been a colleague alongside other people as I was employed by BET or CNN or ABC or a number of other companies I've worked for over the course of my career. So your question assumes that there's always been a dichotomy between my power and the lack of someone else's. One, that has not always been the case. But again, if you don't know what you're talking about because you're not given details, you don't know who the accusers are, you don't know what the allegations are, but you get the plug pulled on your show, it's hard to respond to these things. And talking to Justin on the radio is not the appropriate forum.
Yeah, I understand. Town Forum coming up. It's called The Conversation, Women, Men, and the Workplace at the Faith Community at St. Sabina Church on 78th Street. That's going to be tomorrow. Tavis, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking some time out.
My great pleasure. No problem.